from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia will utilize AMM meeting to promote regional resilience and to raise support for Palestine. Indonesia still considering decision on BRICS membership. Now the news in detail. Indonesia will utilize the 57th ASEAN Foreign Ministers meeting and related meetings from July the 21st until 27th in Vientiane, Laos, to encourage superpowers in a bid to remember the important role of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, to their interests. Indonesia is also going to remind the importance of regional resilience for all parties, including through strengthening ASEAN institutions. According to Director of ASEAN Cooperation at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Sidarto Suryodipuro in Jakarta Friday, Indonesia will also ask superpowers to comply with international laws and norms in the region.
Sejumlah pesan penting yang lain yang akan disampaikan oleh Menteri Luar Negeri dalam rangkaian pertemuan tersebut adalah tentunya melanjutkan capaian keketuaan Indonesia tahun lalu.
A number of other important messages that will be conveyed by the Minister of Foreign Affairs in the series of meetings are, of course, to continue the achievements of Indonesia's chairmanship last year. Indonesia was chair of ASEAN in 2023. There were various achievements last year under the theme of ASEAN Matters, Epicenter of Growth. Then another message of the foreign minister is to continue to encourage major powers to remind them of their interest in ASEAN for this region, the importance of regional resilience for all parties, including through strengthening ASEAN institutions, the importance of complying with international law and regional norms, such as Treaty of Amity and Cooperation and Bali Principles.
Message lain adalah tentang perlunya membangun kemitraan yang setara dengan ASEAN. Jadi ini juga message kepada ASEAN member states. Kita perlu membangun kemitraan yang setara.
Furthermore, Sidarto Suryodipuro said, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi will attend 19 meetings during her presence in Laos. The meetings start from the 25th Post-Ministerial Conference, ASEAN Regional Forum, ASEAN Plus 3, 14th East Asia Summit, 31st ASEAN Regional Forums, to the 24th ASEAN European Union meeting. Indonesia, through its Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, will mobilize support for Palestine at the 57th meeting of foreign ministers of the Association of ASEAN Countries, or AMM, in Laos. Director of ASEAN Cooperation at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Sidarto Suryodipuro in Jakarta on Friday, said Indonesia will consistently push for recognition of Palestine in a series of AMM meetings.
Menlu akan menggalang dukungan bagi upaya masalah Palestina
The Minister of Foreign Affairs will rally support for the Palestinian problem and the recognition of the Palestinian state. So this will be a consistent message from the foreign ministers at these meetings. The 57 AMM is divided into two sessions, namely plenary and retreat session. According to Siddhartha, the plenary session will discuss ASEAN community building, the priorities of the Lao chairmanship in 2024, summit preparations and efforts to expand the parties to the Treaty of Amity and Cooperation in Southeast Asia. The retreat session will discuss the development of the situation in Myanmar, follow up to the 5-point consensus, ASEAN external relations, and exchange of views on a number of regional and global issues where Indonesia will push for recognition of Palestine. Director General of ASEAN Cooperation at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia, Siddhartha Suryodipuro, said that Indonesia is still studying the decision on joining the Developing Economies Alliance, BRICS, comprising Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, and the United Arab Emirates. So, if it is said that Indonesia refuses to join, it is not true. Siddhartha emphasized it at a press conference ahead of the 57th ASEAN Foreign Ministers meeting in Jakarta on Friday when asked for a response regarding two ASEAN members, namely Thailand and Malaysia, who have showed interest in joining BRICS. Suryodipuro said that it is common aspiration. He also explained that ASEAN is a regional institution that is not a supranational body. The Marine Corps of the Indonesian Navy is preparing to dispatch 53 personnel to Indonesia's new capital Nusantara in East Kalimantan for the national ceremony marking Indonesia's 79th Independence Day. Commander of the Marine Corps, Major General Andy Supardi, disclosed this as reported by Antara on Friday, speaking to reporters. During a preparatory roll call and exercise for the ceremony, he said that the Navy is also preparing four transport vehicles as well as equipment needed by the delegation. U.S. President Joe Biden is looking forward to getting back on the campaign trail next week, fortifying his commitment to stick in the race as more Democrats on Friday called for him to step aside as the party nominee. As quoted by BBC.com, President Joe Biden conveyed that the stakes are high and the choice is clear. Together, he said, Democrats will win. His statement appeared to be in response to the conflicting reports that Biden's inner circle is discussing the beleaguered president's future and whether he will remain in the race. Turkey is set to send Navy support to Somali waters after the two countries agreed Ankara will send an exploration vessel off the coast of Somalia to prospect for oil and gas. As reported by ArabNews.com, President Tayyip Erdogan submitted a motion to the Turkish parliament late on Friday seeking authorization for the deployment of Turkish military to Somalia, including the country's territorial waters. The move came a day after the Turkish Energy Ministry announced that Turkey will send an exploration vessel off the coast of Somalia later this year to search for oil and gas as part of a hydrocarbon cooperation deal between two countries. Earlier this year, Turkey and Somalia signed a defense and economic cooperation agreement during Somali defense minister's visit to Ankara. Vietnam's long-serving leader Nguyen Phu Trong has died after a period of illness marking the end of a political era. The announcement came days after the government said he was stepping back to focus on his health and had handed duties to President Tô Lâm. As reported by BBC.com, as the General Secretary of Vietnam's ruling Communist Party since 2011 and at one point also as president, Trong was seen as one of the country's most powerful leaders in decades. Besides overseeing the supercharged growth of Vietnam's economy, the 80-year-old was known for his blazing furnaces anti-corruption. Trong's death comes at a time of a political turbulence for Vietnam's communist leadership. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Makassar, South Sulawesi. Makassar City Government, South Sulawesi Province will introduce dances from the four regional ethnic groups in the province to foreign countries through the Makassar International Aid Festival and Forum, or FA. The four ethnic groups in question are Makassar, Bugis, Toraja, and Mandar. Makassar Mayor Muhammad Ramdan Pomanto in Makassar on Thursday said FA 2024 will take the theme of the unity, which has a special concept. He explained Makassar is a concept that displays cultural diversity from the four ethnic South Sulawesi. According to him, the four ethnic groups are local cultures but of international standard. The festival will include traditional food, art to culture from the four ethnic groups. This year's F8 Makassar will be held for 5 days from July the 24th until 28th, displaying 8 festivals at one time, namely folk, fashion, film, fine art, fusion music, flora and fauna, food and fiction writers, hence the name F8. F8 Makassar is also the largest water edge festival in Indonesia and will be held along Losari Beach with a length of more than 1.2 kilometers. Still from Makassar, South Sulawesi, the Vocational Faculty of Hasanuddin University collaborated with the Indonesian Vocational Higher Education Forum, hosted the Indonesian Vocational Olympiad, or Olivia, the 9th, 2024. Chairman of the organizing committee, Dr. Agustina Abdullah, in her statement in Makassar on Friday, stated that the event, held for 2 days on July the 18th and 19th, was attended by 1,880 participants from 646 teams from 61 universities in 16 provinces. With the theme Inspiring the Future Through Empowering Innovative Human Resources and Digital-Based Entrepreneurship, Olivia the 9th raised the issue of technology innovation and entrepreneurship. The last item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Yogyakarta. The Yogyakarta City Government prepares the concept of child-friendly hotels in this region so that it is able to guarantee the safety and comfort of children. Secretary of the Department of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection, Population Control and Family Planning, Yogyakarta City, Sarmin, in his statement in Yogyakarta Friday, said the hospitality world is one of the pillars of the economic and tourism support of the city of Yogyakarta, so that hospitality businesses are also obliged to provide security and comfort for children. According to him, realizing hotels to be child-friendly is one of the contributions of hotels in supporting the realization of a child-friendly city. He said the hotel needs to be an area or place that is child-friendly because many activities are carried out in the hotel, both public and private. He said that currently the indicator of child-friendly hotels is in the preparation and review stage. Next, he said there will be a hotel accompanied by the Yogyakarta City Office to become a child-friendly hotel and a pilot for other hotels. That was news from across Indonesia.
Oh.
We begin today in history with the event on July 20, 1907 about train wreck in Michigan. A train crash in the Pier Marquette Railroad area of Michigan on July 20, 1907. There are no exact records explaining the cause of the accident. However, the accident claimed 30 lives. In addition, 70 people were injured as a result of the accident. Let's turn to 1933 when 500,000 people marched against anti-Semitism in London. Around 500,000 people marched in London City, England to oppose anti-Semitism on July 20, 1933. Anti-Semitism is an attitude of hostility or prejudice towards the Jewish people. They form acts of persecution or torture against religious, ethnic, racial groups, ranging from individual hatred to institutions. The most famous phenomenon in anti-Semitism is the ideology of Nazism from Adolf Hitler. This ideology led to the extermination of European Jews. We end today in history with the event of Israel and Syria signed ceasefire agreement. Israel and Syria signed an agreement for a ceasefire on July 20, 1949. The agreement was agreed upon by both countries after fighting for 19 months. The agreement also ended the war of both countries. The agreement came about after a combination of five countries, namely Arab, Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, and Iraq, attacked Israel after the declaration of independence. The battle was called the Arab-Israeli War. Other countries, namely Morocco, Sudan, Yemen, and Saudi Arabia, also sent troops to fight Israel. After almost 1 year, a ceasefire was declared and the temporary border was known as the Green Line. That's today in history from Voice of Indonesia.
Walau kita
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on government accelerates one map policy to achieve long-term development plan targets. The Indonesian government continues to encourage the acceleration of the one map policy as part of the strategy to achieve the targets of the National Long-Term Development Plan 2025-2045. At the launch of the One Map Policy 2.0 Geoportal and the One Map Policy Beyond 2024 White Paper in Jakarta on Thursday, July the 18th, Minister of Defense Prabowo Subianto, representing President Joko Widodo, explained the One Map Policy aims to create efficiency in development planning, reduce overlapping use of space, and accelerate the realization of national strategic projects and the development of special economic zones. Prabowo Subianto emphasized the importance of speed in government amidst global geopolitical and geoeconomic uncertainty. According to him, a country that is able to provide certainty and a good and most efficient business climate will be more attractive to investors. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, who is also chair of the One Map Policy Acceleration Team, Erlangga Hartarto, reported, despite global uncertainty, Indonesia's economic growth remains strong with growth of 5.11% year-on-year in the first quarter of 2024 and is in the top of three countries of G20. Hartarto also highlighted that Indonesia's inflation is low and international institutions still believe in Indonesia's investment potential. Furthermore, he also reported significant achievement from national strategic project and special economic zones. Until July 2024, 233 national strategic projects have been established with details of 218 projects and 15 programs, which are estimated to absorb 2.71 million workers. Coordinating Minister Erlangga Hartarto also mentioned the construction of 10 data centers in the Nongsa Digital Park Special Economic Zone and the invitation of King's College London for the Singhasari Special Economic Zone. He said, with the acceleration of the One Map policy and the refinement of the National Strategic Project, as well as the development of Special Economic Zone, it is hoped that Indonesia's development will increase 1% to 2%. That was My Indonesia Today.
Pertama rasakan lara oleh harapan yang pupus hingga hati cedera serius. Terima kasih kalian, barisan para mantan dan semua yang pergi tanpa sempat aku miliki. Tak satu pun yang aku sesali, hanya membuatku semakin sekarang dia juga rindu. Terima kasih kalian, barisan para mantan dan semua yang pergi tanpa sempat aku miliki. Tak satu pun yang aku sesali, hanya membuatku semakin terwajar.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, Kudus Regency, located in Central Java Province, is not only productive in cigarettes, but also known as the City of Century, because this regency is the center of the Islamic religious development. Kudus turned out to have a unique dish, jangkrik rice. Unlike its name, jangkrik rice, this dish is special because of its special filling, namely rice with a side dish of mutton or buffalo, tofu, and a splash of coconut milk sauce. On every 10th of Muharram, the Islamic calendar, Kudus still carry out a tradition to distribute free jangkrik rice. Listener, the texture of jangkrik rice is quite unique, as the taste absolutely delicious with its distinctive seasoning. It was even one of Sunan Kudus' favorite dishes. Sunan Kudus was one of the 9 Songo guardians who spread Islam in the area. The name jangkrik rice is said to have come from the word of the person who ate it. When Sunan Kudus' wife served the dish to a guest was present at her place because of the deliciousness of the dish, one of the present said, "Jangkrik, what this dish is, how delicious is." Since then, the rice dish has been known as nasi jangkrik. Cicada is a type of insect that is brown in color, and in East Java, the word cicada is used to describe an insect. Listener, jangkrik rice is a dish of a rice with a side dish of the seed, mutton or buffalo, tofu, and a splash of coconut milk sauce that can make the tongue of the connoisseur sway. To make jangkrik rice requires patience. First, pieces of buffalo or goat meat are boiled until tender, then seasoned with spices consisting of galangal, shallot, garlic, canned linet, galangal, and chili. Afterward, coconut milk is added and boiled again for about 3 hours until the spices are absorbed. The cooked meat is then topped with fried onions, cabbage, and tofu. Despite its simplicity, this delicious and appetizing jangkrik rice is sold at 15,000 rupiah per serving. Listener, if you are visiting Kudus, please test this dish that has a unique name but delicious taste. That's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Kau lihat aku kejar, semakin kau jauh, tak pernah letih untuk dapatkanmu. Terus berlari, namun ku takut terjatuh lagi. Tak ingin lagi membuatku dapatkanmu. Terus berlari, namun ku takut terjatuh lagi. Semakin ku kejar, semakin kau jauh, tak pernah lebih untuk dapatkanmu. Terus berlari, namun ku takut terjatuh lagi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, this weekend edition of Miscellany presents another achievement of Indonesian youth on the world stage. Student choir of 11 Maret State University Solo in Central Java, Foca Erudita, won 5 awards in the international choir competition at the Musica Orbis Prague Festival in Prague, Czech Republic on Saturday, June 29, and the 58th International Chorwet Bewer in Spital an der Drau, Austria on Friday, July 5 and Saturday, July 6. Foca Erudita emerged as champion folklore repertoire mixed choir, champion sacred repertoire mixed choir, and grand champion at the Musica Orbis Prague Festival. Meanwhile, at the 58th International Chorwet Bewer competition in Spital an der Drau, Carinthia State, Austria, Foca Erudita came out as champion of choral works, classic and modern category, and second prize winner of folk song category. Foca Erudita supervisor Pringgo Widyo Laksono said, Musica Orbis Prague Festival is a festival-based competition held to appreciate art, especially in the field of choir and orchestra teams from all over the world. Along with 18 participants from 16 different countries, Foca Erudita had the opportunity to show the abilities at the Prague Conservatory Hall. They performed 3 songs, namely Lancang Kuning from Riau Province, arranged by Mahardika Simbolon, Gayatri, a Balinese regional song arranged by Bagus S. Utomo, and Niamko Rambiamko, a Papuan regional song arranged by Agustinus Bambang Jusana. For the 58th International Chorwet Bewer in Spital an der Drau, Foca Erudita sang classic songs Oros Signual by Monteverdi, and Give Us Peace by Nana Forte. In the free song category, the student choir performed O Magnum Mysterium, arranged by Javier Busto and Haya by Karin Rangfist. Meanwhile, in the folklore category, Foca Erudita presented Hela Rotane, Lancang Kuning, and Gayatri. Facing these two competitions, Erudita Vocal Choir sent 37 singers who were students from Java, Sumatra, Nusa Tenggara, and Papua. Pringgo Widyo Laksono, as the supervisor of the choir, expressed his pride and emotion over Vocal Erudita's performance. In preparation for this European competition, it took about 5 months with the support of all parties, especially parents, donors, sponsors, and the university. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Oh,
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Piknik 72 by Suarasa Entertainment. The song composed in 1994 was released in 1998 and popularized by Indonesian music group Naif. Naif wishful thinking about the old teenage dating style in early 70s was inspired by old photos of the parents, and the melody was inspired by one of Indonesia's legendary groups, Kus Plus. The song tells the story of a romantic date with one's girlfriend on Sunday. This song is perfect to accompany you when you're in love. Well, listener, here is Suarasa Entertainment with the keroncong song Piknik 72. Enjoy!
Voice of Indonesia.
Diambil dari album Salam Indonesia. Salam Indonesia. Untuk sembuh
Of Indonesia.
Kau berkata dunia sedang teramat, ya bukan berarti kau mesti berubah. Jadi seseorang yang tak kau ingin. Entah beratmu turun atau naik.